This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Baruch Hamabayim. Welcome to Daf HaShavua. We continue in Masechta Yevamos. We are discussing the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah, and he wasn't the only one who said this in the Mishnah, that if an androgynous kohen marries a woman, he is considered a full-fledged man, and he can allow her to eat truma on his account. The lashon of the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, androgynous kohen shenitnasa bas Yisrael, ma'achila b'truma. An androgynous kohen who marries a bas Yisrael, he allows her to eat truma. That means the opinion of Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Shimon is an androgynous, is a vadai zachar. The Gemara asks, Amar Rav, Rav said, Lesa lemasnisin mekame braisa. Rav said, we don't hold of the Mishnah on account of the braisa. The Mishnah that said Rabbi Yossi says an androgynous is Michael's wife, Truma. We don't hold of that on account of the braisa, where Rabbi Yossi expresses that we're really unsure as to the status of an androgynous. The Tanya we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, androgynous beria b'fnei atzma. Rabbi Yossi said definitively, an androgynous is a creature unto itself. It's not a male. It's not a female. V'loi hechriu by chachamim, and the chachamim did not give a definitive view im zachar im nekeva. So basically, Rav is saying that even though the Mishnah states that Rabbi Yossi says that a androgynous is a vadai male, the Braisa says we are unsure. So the Gemara asks on that, what? We're going to give more credibility to the Braisa over the Mishnah? Usually we say a Mishnah is much more credible. A Mishnah has been redacted and edited by Rebbe, and therefore it's considered more authoritative. However, a Braisa was considered learnt bar, means outside. A Braisa, it was taught outside the house of Rebbe, and it's not necessary as authoritative. Adarabba, lesa la Braisa mekame masnisin. We should not hold of the Braisa on account of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah should be more authoritative. Why are we giving more credence to the Braisa over the Mishnah? Says Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because midashavke Rabbi Yossi la bar zuge. Rabbi Yossi lost his partner in the Braisa. In this Braisa, Rabbi Yossi lost his partner. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say an androgynous is a vadai male. And in the Braisa, it's only Rabbi Yossi. Hey, where'd Rabbi Shimon go? Why did Rabbi Shimon drop out? Now, if you're going to say it's a machloikes, what Rabbi Yossi holds, so shouldn't it be the same dispute what Rabbi Shimon holds? Says the Gemara, says Rashi, midashavke Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon barzuge. Rashi's on the third line. The Ari behedya b'masnisin. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi left Rabbi Shimon, his partner, that he is speaking explicitly in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi speaks alone in the Braisa. That means he retracted. It's not a machloikis what Rabbi Yossi holds. It's not there are two different views what Rabbi Yossi holds. It's he retracted. Because if it was two different views of what Rabbi Yossi holds, then you would say, okay, erase the Braisa because a Mishnah is more authoritative. But if it was two different views what Rabbi Yossi held, then presumably there would be two different views what Rabbi Shimon held. But the fact that only Rabbi Yossi expressed his opinion, meaning if it's a machlokes tanoim, what Rabbi Yossi holds, then Rabbi Shimon should appear in the Braisa as well. It must be that Rabbi Yossi retracted. Now, if he retracted, we know Braisas were taught after Mishnayos. So it means his final view is that we're unsure what the androgynous is. So in other words, if there would be a dispute what Rabbi Yossi held, we would side with the Mishnah. But if there's no dispute, but he held one view and then he retracted to a different view, so we're going to go with the later view. And what's the later view? The later view is that we're not sure what an androgynous is. Shema mina hadarbe. So from here we see that Rabbi Yossi retracted. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel in contradistinction to Rav, he holds not that we're going to uphold the Braisa in the face of the Mishnah, but rather Shmuel Amar, Lesel Braisa Mikami Masnisin. We will not hold of the Braisa because of the Mishnah. Shmuel will say, we will not hold of the Braisa from before the Mishnah. Meaning, the Mishnah is more authoritative, and Rabbi Yossi holds that an androgynous is a Vadai Zachar. Says the Gemara, Adaraba, just the opposite, Lesa Lamasnis Mekamei Braisa. We should dismiss the Mishnah because of the Braisa. We should give more credence to the Braisa. Why? Why would you ever give more credence to a Braisa over a Mishnah? The answer is, because we happen to know Shmuel's personal opinion is that we will follow an individual view when it's more stringent over a majority view that's more lenient. We infer that Shmuel holds that we're concerned for an individual view. Shmuel is of the opinion that if you have an individual view, which is machmir, we will follow that over a majority view, which is mekel. Now, the braisa that says we're not sure what androgynous is more stringent than the Mishnah that says we know for sure that he's a zachar and he could feed his wife truma. So presumably then we should follow the braisa, which is more stringent over the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, no, hold your horses. Hani mili, when do we concern for the minority view? Kiloi misakra masnisin, when you're not uprooting a Mishnah. Avoki misakra masnisin, but if you would be uprooting a Mishnah, like we would be over here, loi chayish, we're not worried about a minority view, and therefore, we're going to follow the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to list various teachings that Rabbi Yossi taught, and whether the halacha is like him. Now again, Rabbi Yossi is a very important Tana. Why? What did he teach? Rabbi Yossi is the author of Seder Olam. Seder Olam is a group of braisos, well, coming up in Sefer Shemais. Not only does Seder Olam speak about the years of the world since the creation, it also speaks about basically the chronological history of the narratives of the Chumash. So Amri Bei Rav Mishmei Rav, they taught in the Academy of Rav in the name of Rav. Halacha Rabbi Yossi ba'androgynous of a harkava. The halacha is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi when it comes to an androgynous, someone who displays signs of male and female, and when it comes to harkava, harkava is grafting. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says no. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi bekoishi uvekiddush. When it comes to the difficult labor pains and asering grapes and wheat. And we're going to explain. Androgynous hada amrin. Androgynous, that which we said earlier, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi by androgynous. Now, which androgynous? In the Mishnah or the Braisa? That's the question. So Rashi learns, like the Mishnah. Meaning the halachas like Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah and that androgynous is a vadai male. And we're going to say that this Amri Bei Rav was Rav Huna later on. And this argues on what we said earlier in the name of Rav, that Rav said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa. This version of Rav is the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, that an androgynous is a vadai male. Now, that's what it means, halacha is like Rabbi Yossi by androgynous. Harkava, when it comes to grafting, Detnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Ein Noiten. We do not plant. Now this is very important. This is regarding the halachos of Shvius. We know that during the Shemitah year, you can't be involved in working the field. There are different types of ways of planting. There's the traditional planting, you put a seed in the ground. There is grafting, where you take a branch from a different tree and you stick it into a growing tree, and it sort of fuses together and it grows. And there's something called markivin. Markivin is basically, let's say you have an apple tree or a vine branch, and you take the vine branch, you sort of stretch it from its original vine, and you stick it into the ground, and you pull it up the other end. And basically, once it starts sprouting from the second insert into the ground, you disconnect it from the original tree. So all of these methods are considered planting. The halacha is, of course, you're not a plant in the Shemitah year. Not only you're not a plant in the Shemitah year, you're also not allowed to plant within 30 days of Shemitah, lest it start growing and really taking effect in the Shemitah year. So the halacha is, ein noitin, you're not a plant, ein mavrichin, you're not a graft, ein markivin, you can't insert into the ground, Erev Shvius, the year before Shemitah, Pachas Mishloshim Yoim, Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. And if you did, we're going to penalize you, and we're going to say you have to uproot it. V'imnata, if you planted, v'hivrach, or grafted, v'hirkev, or inserted, ya'akar, you have to uproot it. So basically, this is assuming that it takes 30 days for it to take root. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kol har kava she'enu koletes, v'shoz yom v'shoveni koletes. Any grafting, and for that matter, planting or inserting, if it's not starting to flourish within 3 days, it won't take effect. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the process really starts working not after 30 days, but after 3 days, and therefore, you have to wait 3 days before the correct amount of time. We'll see what this means in a moment. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Shtei Shabbosis. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon says it takes 2 weeks. So we have three-way machlokes, how long the processes of planting, grafting, and inserting take. Does it take 30 days? Does it take 3 days? Does it take 2 weeks? Now, Rav Nachman will add that these three views have to be added to the 30 days. The 30 days are untouchable. You can't do anything 30 days before Shemitah. Now the question is, since the process of grafting, planting, or inserting takes either 30 days, 3 days, or 2 weeks, you have to tack that on to the 30 days. So if it takes 30 days, you can't plant 60 days before Shemitah. If it takes 3 days, you can't plant 33 days before Shemitah. If it takes 2 weeks, you can't plant 44 days before Shemitah. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Aravua, LeDivrei HaOmer Shloishim, according to the view that it takes 30 days, Tzarech Shloishim Ushloishim Ushloishim, you need 30 and 30. LeDivrei HaOmer Shloisho, according to the view that it takes 3 days, Tzarech Shloisho Ushloishim, you need 33 days. LeDivrei HaOmer Shtei Shabbosis, according to the view that it takes 2 weeks, Tzarech Shtei Shabbosis, it needs 2 weeks, Ushloishim and 30 days. So regarding these two halachos, androgynous and Shemitah, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi in the view of Rav. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Bekoishi, when it comes to labor, Vekidush, and prohibiting grapes and grain, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So let's get a little bit of an intro. Here's the intro. The laws of Nida are very different than what we practice today. Today, the way we practice Hilchos Nida is if a woman shows any bleeding, she needs to wait 3 clean days. And she checks herself for 7 days, and then she goes to the mikvah. However, that is not midoraisa. Midoraisa, a woman could bleed for 7 consecutive days, and then as soon as she stops bleeding, she goes to the mikvah. She doesn't need clean days. Midoraisa, only a zava needs clean days. What's a zava? Basically, a woman has a cycle. Her first 7 days, if she bleeds during those days, as long as she's clean at the end of 7 days, she goes to the mikvah. But then she has a period of 11 days. In that period of 11 days, If she bleeds one day, she only has to wait one clean day and she could go to the mikvah. If she bleeds three consecutive days, she becomes a zava gedoyla. And then she requires seven clean days. And then she goes to the mikvah and she brings karbanos. The reason why our women need seven clean days is it's a gzeira drabanan atu the zava. But it's only midrabanan. Now, when a woman is in labor, and when a woman gives birth, she has blood. She's tame. When she gives birth to a male, she's tame for 7 days. When she gives birth to a female, she's tame for 14 days. After the 7 days for a male, she has 33 clean days. During that time, if she bleeds, she's tahar. But when she gives birth to a female, she's tame for 14 days. After that, she has 66 days. If she bleeds then, she is tahar. Now, we don't do dam tahar anymore. By us, all women are the same. When they bleed, they're usher for 7 days. Now, let's say a woman is in her period of zava. And if she bleeds three consecutive days, she'll become a zava. But what if that is not zava blood? What if it's labor blood? How long can we assume a woman is in labor for that we say, oh, this is not the blood of zava, this is her labor blood? Because if we know it's the blood of her childbirth, then we're not going to say this is dam zava. So the question is, how long can a woman's labor last for? Let's look at Rashi for a moment. Rashi says, "Kama yehi kishuya the kaimalan we hold benida da iraisa that by a biblical nida hamakasha betoch yud aleph shebe nida l'nida. If a woman is in labor in the 11 days between one nida and another, v'roya dam gimel yam tzufim, and she sees blood for three consecutive days, machmas tsar vlada because of the pain of her embryo of her pregnancy, in a bali de ziva, she would not come to ziva liyos tricha sfir zayinikim, that she would have to count 7 clean days ki yoledes bezoiv, like a woman who is given birth, like a woman who is given birth in her state of ziva. Ella yimei tumas leidu ki yoledes greitza, she's only tame. Meaning if a woman gives birth after being a zava, so she would have to go through the Zayin Nikiyim of a Zava. In other words, let's say a woman, right after she was a Zava, she gave birth, so she would not be Tahar until she went through Zayin Nikiyim. However, if this woman, maybe the reason she bled for 3 days is not because she was a Zava, but rather because it was labor. And we know that the din of Tumas Zava is only if it's blood from her Zava, not from her labor. So how long can a woman be in labor for that we say this is not Zava blood from her 11-day period, but this is her labor blood? I mean, could a woman be in labor for 5 years? Could a woman be in labor, let's say, for the rest of her marriage? How long could a woman be in labor for? Says the Gemara, Kama Yehi Kishua. Rameir Oimer Oy Arba Mechamishim Yom, either 40 or 50 days at most. And after that, if she's still bleeding, we say this is Zava blood. So if after the 40 or 50 days of labor, she bleeds 3 days, so we say, okay, those 3 days are the blood of a Zava. But until then, the first 40 or 50 days, that's the blood of labor. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Daya Chadasha. It's enough to the month. Which means as follows. Starting Rosh Chodesh of her 9th month, all the blood of that month is labor blood. Not the last month. Only starting from the Rosh Chodesh that begins her 9th month, all the bleeding of that month is labor. If she bled 3 days before that, that could be Zava bleeding. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Oimrim, Ein kisho yoyse mishtei shabbosis. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say the kisho is not more than 2 weeks. So regarding that, the halacha is like Rav Yossi, that the kishui is not more than 2 weeks. Now what is the case of kiddush? Kiddush is asering grape and wheat. We know the halacha is that grapes growing together with wheat is klayim, and they're both asar bahana. So, kiddush, the tanan we learned in the Mishnah, hamasachich gefonai agave tivasei, one who hovers his vine branch on his grain, shel chaveroi, hareza kiddush. It asers the grain. V'chayev achrayus. And if you did that, you are responsible for the achrayus because you asered the grain. Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon Oimrim, Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon say, Ein adam oseh davar shenei shalai. You can't aser something that doesn't belong to you. And we pass like Reb Yossi, that a person can't aser something that doesn't belong to them. Okay, Marv Rabbeisai, we will hold it over here. Bez Hashem, tomorrow night is Matzoi Asar B'Teves. But nobody's going to have Rachmanis on anyone. So we got to do Pei Gimel Amud Beis. And moving right along. Thanks everyone for joining. Have a wonderful night. Laila Tov. Thank you so much. Kol Tov. Yes, Mike, ready? What's the... Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.